This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
God gave me a word for this church I've never preached anywhere else in the world, and I want to bring it to you today. Awaken to a lost world. Awaken to a lost world. I know for the past months now, few good, heavy, hard months, people talk about losing an election, but to lose an entire world is totally different. God was not going to lose the world after the worldwide flood, so he sent a son, an only son, to redeem a lost world. And as the son was sent into the world, the son has also sent us. Oh, Tiffany did it so well. She just enunciated clearly, articulately, the fact of how we are to see that world and go to that world. They're not going to come to us. We've got to go to them. And so as the Son was sent to the world, his final message is our first mandate. She quoted it, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So how is this present world actually lost? I want you to participate with me, and I want you to say, "Oh my," after each one of these recorded in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. But understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Oh my. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Ah, you didn't say, "Oh my." Because we are not to avoid such people in terms of our true "oh my." If I have a true "oh my" in my heart regarding all of those lost issues, the world being away from the love of the Father, the healing nature of the resurrected Son, I can say either, "Oh my," with a sense of, "I'll never do something like that," or, "Oh my, I have a responsibility to be able to make a change in that lost and dark condition." Whether it's somebody who's brutal, or somebody who's ungrateful, or somebody who's heartless, or somebody who's without self-control, I can say an "oh my" and turn away. Or I can say an "oh my," as was said earlier by Pastor Alex, missionaries need the engagement of prayer as well as the engagement of funds. And we can say an "oh my" with a heart that's broken in weeping over this lost world. There's a very illuminating scripture I ran across 3 days ago in preparing to come here in Exodus 22 and 9. Listen to it. "For every breach of trust, whether it is for an ox or a donkey or a sheep or a cloak or for any kind of lost thing, of which one says, 'This is it,' the case of both parties shall come before God. The one whom God looks at and judges shall pay double to his neighbor." Notice it said any kind of lost thing should come before God. This is the simple answer to a lost person, neighborhood, nation, or world, to come before God now lest they come before him in judgment in that final hour. Here's the end of our text. Or any kind of lost thing of which one says, that is it. The case of both parties shall come before God, and the one God judges shall pay. Or else we listen to Hebrews 9, 27 to 28, and hear the words, and just as it appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes judgment. So mankind dies once, and after this, yes, my friend, there's an afterlife. Either fully lost from God's presence or claiming the promise additionally in verse 28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Stories of lostness, these issues and stories and pictures of lostness are found throughout Scripture. The first one is recorded, as you know, in Genesis 4, 18 to 16. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they're in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of her brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your presence I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. This is the very first family recorded in the Scripture. The very first family squabble. The first mention of the word sin. The first disobedience to the known will of God concerning sacrificial offerings, and the first recorded message. And lostness is the end of sin and disobedience. It was so then, and it's so now. Cain said, I shall not see your face again, and I will wander as a vagabond on earth, and anyone who sees me will try to kill me. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. What a picture of lostness, going out from the presence of the Lord. Oh, my friend, for Tiffany, myself, all the missionaries that you recorded there, and for your hearts as well, that's what stirs us, people not being near to God's presence. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you, the Scripture says in James. Cain is from then on mentioned as a lost person. Note in Jude 1 and 11, woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain and abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and they perish in rebellion. Missionaries go because of the stirring that God, the Holy Spirit, puts in their heart for people who are outside of the presence of the living, good, good God and good, good Father. What do you think, Pastor Irvin, was the mark that God put on Cain? Well, it's always been debated. As for me, I think it was a mark of a paranoid attitude, always looking over his shoulder, always afraid of someone wanting to kill him. When you lose the presence of God in your life, you're always looking for something bad to happen. You're always looking for something that's going to catch up with you and your choices in life. The mark of Cain is those who don't sense the presence of God in their life. But the second mark was a reminder that he could come back to repentance and see God's face again by God saying, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him. Thus God built redemptive protection upon Cain's life Long enough for Cain to come back to repentance if he wanted to. A paranoid mark of daily life of fear and a protection mark to repent and to return to God. This is the only hope for lostness, is to be able to come back to God through the preaching of the word, the discipleship of men and women, the love of God in a local church, and the truth where the Holy Spirit makes it real to a person's spirit. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. The major scriptural story that's given to us that everybody in the world can quote one way or another. They may quote it wrongly, but they know the story. And it's the story in Luke 15. The story of a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. The lost sheep represents lost productivity, sheep wool and lamb meat were the great means of producing wealth and food. The lost coin represents lost destiny. The woman was in danger of losing her engagement band with one coin missing, put around her forehead of the 10 that were attached. These were the promise of marriage given by the future husband. Lost destiny. The lost son represents lost relationship with the father and the larger family. I've often thought in the lost son, we see the picture of the Trinity there, at least clearly in the Father and in the Son. A picture of the living Father God and the creative Son for salvation, Jesus. But where's the Holy Spirit in the picture? The Holy Spirit is in the boy's hunger. He became so hungry, he came to himself. For all of us as missionaries know that we don't win anyone to Christ. We don't change any nation. We don't plant any church. It's the Holy Spirit that does it all. It's the Spirit wooing, the Spirit of gentleness, the Spirit of the living Christ, because many times in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Jesus said, it's important that I go back to heaven, for if I do not go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And he will come to you as a guide, a teacher, a comforter, a friend, a lawyer for you. And he will take away the orphan spirit that you feel, because I've left you behind. The Holy Spirit is my spirit operating within you. There's not a missionary on the field, whether it's home or abroad, whether it's Tiffany working with the nationals in Chi Alpha Ministry, or myself living in a nation and speaking and preaching in other languages. We know we do nothing without the Holy Spirit creating the hunger, creating the passion for people repenting from their lostness. Without God in our lives, we are not productive in our life. We ruin our eternal destiny, and we stumble in our relationships with both heaven and earth. And when we confess our lostness, something happens, which every missionary in every church likes to hear the testimonies, as in the Luke 15 story. Joy happens. Overwhelming joy fills the lives. Rejoice with me, my lost sheep is found. Rejoice with me, my coin is found. Rejoice with me, my son is returned home. That's the story of missionary service. That's the reason we pick up one of these pledge forms. That's the reason we open our hearts to Tiffany's ministry. And I am so excited to hear her say she's going to go into global missions and go to the nations, live overseas, learn another language, be a part of a people group that is lost. It is our ability to spread that joy that Tiffany spoke about this morning in discipling people, assuming responsibility. Being able to say, I've been called by God through the Holy Spirit's anointing in my life to bring joy to the world. Oh, I tell you, that's who I want to be right to the very end of my life. No matter what the pandemic does, I'm still going to be a missionary. I'm still going to share Jesus Christ. And in conclusion of this message, Jesus in Mark 8 says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the reason these missionaries are going to college campuses or to Guatemala. This is the reason you sent Irvin and Linda all the years to Asia. We are compelled to bring the joy of coming back to the Father, the joy of people finding and fulfilling their destiny, the joy of people being productive in life without a sense of looking over their shoulders in paranoid fear. It is well documented that when Steve Jobs returned to Apple Computer in 1997, one of the first things he did was call on John Sculley, the company's former CEO, for the top job. At the time, Sculley was with PepsiCo, and unwilling to be lured back to Apple with Jobs, I think is the way he says it, until Jobs said to him, "Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world?" "Oh, friends, I don't want to sell sugar water. I don't want to lower the standard of holiness in the Holy Spirit. I want to lift up the joy of the resurrected Christ." Amen. C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." Amen. Let's change the ending today. Stand to your feet. When I came in here, I saw a picture of myself up there with my hands like this. I want you to do that. I've led you this. Literally hundreds of thousands of people around the world. In my 60 years of preaching the gospel, God gave this to me when I was 16 years of age. I've asked people just to hold their hands like a cup and pray this prayer. You don't have to close your eyes. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, with open hands and open heart, I give myself to you that you would change me from being lost in the darkness of my own sin to find the joy of your salvation. Fill my heart with this overflowing joy that I might bring your joy to a lost and darkened world. I ask you to take my hands and fill them up with all that heaven has to offer, where I can pour it out wherever you send me. Don't shut me down by just being in a building. Release me with my hands and my heart to bring joy to every place I go and every person I see, led to by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name."
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.